Well, the fruit of the Spirit's joy. That's what we're on tonight. And joy, there's the expression of joy is not silence. It usually is very vocal. And go to Psalms with me, Psalm 66. We'll start there. We talked about the fruit of the Spirit this morning being love, and the second part of that fruit, he says, is joy. I think joy is something that's missing in a lot of people's lives. I know the world doesn't know anything about joy. They don't even know what joy is. And I think some Christians don't understand what joy is either. At least it's a missing thing in their life. And it's not a... We preached on joy here before. You can't really go through the Bible without talking about joy because it's supposed to be a part of the Christian life. And if your Christian life, if you don't have joy, then there's something wrong with your Christian life. And as I look at problems that people have and experience and they go through, and I just, guys, I can't help it. As I read the list of the fruit of the Spirit, it's almost like every problem that I've seen in people's lives, it's not every problem, that would be too elementary, but it seems like most of the problems that all of us face in our lives as Christians, that if that fruit of the Spirit was real in me, that I wouldn't have that problem. And I just can't overemphasize the fruit of the Spirit enough, and that's why we're just taking our time as we go through it. And when we talk about joy, Psalm 66, the Bible says in verse number 1, make a joyful, what's that word?
Noise.
Unto the Lord, all ye lands. He doesn't just say be joyful, he says make a noise. In other words, if you're really joyful, it comes out. You're vocal about it. You're loud about it. Of course, I know a lot of people, they don't want loud services or loud preachers, but, and I've preached about this before, but they've got loudness in their life every other place. The house is loud, the kids are loud, the TV's loud, the video games are loud, the concerts are loud, the radio's loud, the football game's loud. But when it comes to God, let's just get quiet. There's something wrong with that. And the same people that don't like loud preaching scream at people. It's hard to understand how people in their value system look at things. But here's what I know. When you're joyful, it just, you make a noise. You know, I can usually tell when we meet for church if you guys are right with God. Is that easy to say? I mean, that's the truth. If people come into church and you look like, you know, your cat got run over or you drank lemon juice on the way in or you had the most wonderful conversation in the car coming over to the church house, you can see all of that. But when people come into the church right with God and they have love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance wrapped up all inside, it just oozes out of you. And I don't know about you, but I hate dead religion. Because there's just something not real about it. And we ought to be joyful people. And to be joyful people, that means we need to make a noise. We need to make a noise. And if we don't make noise, it's because we're not joyful and the Spirit's not in control, because the fruit of the Spirit is love and it's joy. Now, some people don't make a noise because they're embarrassed. And you know what that is? That's usually somebody else's opinions controlling you instead of the Spirit of God controlling you. In other words, I'm too afraid to sing out loud or praise the Lord out loud or give a testimony out loud or do whatever out loud for the glory of God because I'm controlled by my perception of what others think of me instead of being controlled by the Spirit of God in me that wants me to praise the Lord with a loud noise. That makes sense? In Psalm, I read Psalm 66, look at Psalm 81. In Psalm 81, this is over and over through the Bible. Psalm 81 and verse 1. Do you have joy that comes out your mouth? Psalm 81 verse 1, sing aloud. Do you see that? Are we in the Bible? Or, you know, sing aloud is what he says. Why? Unto God our strength, make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. In chapter 95, Psalm 95, we'll just keep reading a few verses here to make sure we're on the right track. He said in Psalm 95 verse 1, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful, what's the word?
Noise.
To the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful, there it is again, noise unto Him with psalms. Across the page, Psalm 100 verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. He said in Psalm 132, what a wonderful, joyful book the book of Psalms is. Psalm 132, the Bible says in verse number 9, let thy priests be clothed with righteousness and let thy saints shout for joy. I never heard anybody shout quietly. Have you? He said in Psalm chapter 5, in Psalm chapter 5 in verse number 11, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Do you have a joyful noise in your heart? I think I'm going to tell them. Did I tell you the story about Benjamin coming home? See, when you get this part-timer thing, you can't get all that. They tell me I tell my stories over and over again. This just happened. Did I tell you all about that? So he's driving in the car, in the van, with all their stuff from Houston. And it's on a Saturday. And Hannah doesn't understand college football. They don't, you know, where she's from, it was hockey. You know, Canada and all that stuff. And that's not college football. So Benjamin, you know, what happened that Saturday was, like normal, Alabama's in the SEC championship game. And so they're driving all this way and he's going to miss the game. So Benjamin's got his iPad. And he pulls his iPad out and he links it with his phone and brings up the game while he's driving. And so they're doing their thing, and Hannah's got her ear things in because she don't hear the football game, I guess, and she's doing her own thing. And so they're holding hands, you know, like newlyweds do, right? You know, you can say amen there. They're holding hands like newlyweds do, and they're riding in the car, and he's watching the game and driving, watching the game and driving. And, of course, Alabama breaks it loose and we score. And he goes, woo! And Hannah's like, what did I just marry? Freaks her out. Never saw that in Benjamin. How many of you have seen Benjamin do that? Woo! It's down in there. You know why? He's got some joy about that Alabama football. Right. You know where he learned that? And you know where Dad learned that? Yeah. You know what that means? Joy is contagious. That noise is contagious. You know what's sad? People make noises about everything else. But the greatest thing in the world to make a noise about is about being saved and redeemed by the grace of God and having the mercy of God on your soul. You've got more to shout about and you've got more to rejoice about than anybody in the world has. And God says, y'all make a noise about it. Oh, I just can't do that. You know why you can't do that? Because the Holy Ghost is not in charge. The Holy Ghost is not in charge. And sometimes the joy is not there because the Spirit of God is not in His fullness in your life. Go to Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 12. The expression of joy. By the way, you know what people try to do, and this is true all around places, they try to manufacture joy in a church service. Because let's be honest, nobody likes a dead church service. You ever been in any of those lately? I tell you what, God delivered me from a dead service. I've been in plenty of them. I've been in churches where I had to preach in them. You talk about trying to preach to a cemetery. I mean, you get more amens at a funeral home in a cemetery than you'd get in some churches. There's no noise there unless it's... Right. Look, if God is that boring to you, go play golf. You know what I'm saying? Or get saved. Yeah. But find some joy. And guys, we're in a place where people are dying to have some joy in their life. And I'm telling you this right now, the reason that so many young people come through church, and I've said this before, and they leave, and they're not interested in God. They're not, because they don't see any joy associated with it. So they go looking somewhere else for joy. But just like the Bible says, if you're going to find joy, you're going to find it from the Spirit of God. Just like this morning we preached, if you're going to find love, you're going to find it from the Spirit of God. You're not going to find it anywhere else. Joy is a characteristic or an attribute of God. And it's got to be in you for you to experience it. It's a characteristic of the Holy Spirit. In Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 43, the Bible says, also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. You see that? God made them do that. It's not something that they fabricated. It's something that God made them do. It was a byproduct of what God was doing in their heart. God made them rejoice with great joy. Look at it. The wives also and the children rejoiced. You know, some people think children shouldn't rejoice. Well, it's getting quiet now. I'd rather the kids rejoice than nobody rejoice. Amen. I've been in churches where they let the kids run around the church. So, oh, really? Yeah. It's better than deadhead Christianity. Right. The children rejoice. You say, well, they don't know what to rejoice about. That's what the Pharisees said to Jesus. Yeah. He said, you leave those kids alone. Let them yell and sing and say Hosanna. Yeah. Amen. You know, why would we get uncomfortable with that? Maybe we're uncomfortable around joy. Yeah. Nobody's uncomfortable around. And, you know, most people aren't uncomfortable around people yelling at a ball game or a concert or whatnot. But people get loud in church or joyful in church. He said the children rejoiced. Well, I bet we got some kids have got some lungs. Right? Why not teach them to use those lungs for God? Wouldn't that be all right? The children rejoiced. Look at it. I'm still in verse 43 of Nehemiah 12. So that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. They were so loud that you could hear them way down the street. I remember one day I got this wild idea. We'd get to singing and praising God in the church in Virginia, and I got a big speaker and I put it on the outside of the church building. And it just piped everything that was in the building right out that speaker. Well, the only problem is there were mountains and hills there. And it would hit that valley and echo. You could hear it for miles and miles and miles. People singing praise to God. And boy, the neighbors were like, what's going on? But you know, if it had been a rock concert or a country music concert, they wouldn't have said a word. We've got something to be joyful. The Bible said they heard it afar off. Because the expression of their joy was not just held down on the inside. You know what Nehemiah 8 says, don't you, right there? And you're Nehemiah. Great verse in the Bible. Nehemiah 8, verse 10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Notice whose joy it is. It wasn't their joy, it was the Lord's joy. And that's where we need to get to, the Lord's joy in us. You know what? They had plenty of opposition in Nehemiah. The government was against them. The other religions, the other peoples of the land were against them. They were being persecuted. They were being mocked. They were being discouraged by those around them. And what does Nehemiah, what does the Bible say? Hey, man, don't be sorry. The joy of the Lord is your strength, no matter what's going on in your life. And what I would tell you tonight is that the expressions of your joy are very telling. And many people have faked it so long, they faked joy so long in their life over things that aren't real, that they're uncomfortable and they can't recognize real joy when they see it. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. You know, the Bible says that there's joy over sinners that repent in heaven. There's rejoicing there. We ought to rejoice when people get saved.
Amen.
We had that not long ago. Praise the Lord. And aren't we glad people get saved?
Amen.
You know, what some people do, they say, well, I just don't know if they get saved. Well, I don't know if you're saved.
Yeah, right.
But you know what? I give you the benefit of the doubt and say, glory, hallelujah, praise God. I just trust you. If you're not saved, I don't think I'll go to God and say, Lord, I rejoice and they really weren't saved. I don't think I'll have to apologize for that. There's never reason to apologize or rejoice in the Lord. And when people repent, that's, and like, matter of fact, we probably need to rejoice when Christians repent.
Yeah.
We need to have, you ought to have joy over preaching.
Yeah.
Amen. I was listening to preaching. Matter of fact, I was listening to preaching going home from the church this afternoon. And I heard a guy say something, and I just started laughing and hollering and praising the Lord in my car. I get excited about preaching. It brings joy to me. And if you don't get joyful about preaching, you probably need to get saved. You got to get right with God, or the Spirit of God doesn't have anything to do with your life. People get joyful over, you know, open gifts and doing all sorts of things and activities. I've got a big question mark over people that get joy out there and they can't get joy in here. There's something missing, man. There's something that's not right. And I'm going to tell you, that fake joy out there will run out like a bad habit. But the real joy that God puts on you on the inside, that puts on the inside of you, that's real. Do you have it tonight? It's a fruit of the Spirit. Well, we sing songs, man. Hey, guys, take advantage of it. Look, when other people are rejoicing, they won't even hear you when you rejoice. Just jump on in there. The water's good. It's okay. Praise Him. Thank Him. If everybody else say an amen, if you say amen, nobody will even turn and look. I'm saying that joy expresses itself. And in the Bible, they made a noise. They were loud. They praised God because God had put joy on the inside of them. And it was strength to them. And you can always tell people that don't have that joy in their life. So when you come to church, you can bring that joy with you, or you can let the Spirit of God put it down in your heart. And God wants you to have joy. Would you go to John chapter 15? The Lord wants you to have joy in your life. And if you don't have it, look, there's a reason for that, and it's nobody's fault but our own. You remember what we did when we were kids? We got in Sunday school class and junior church and would go, I've got the
joy.
Where? Where? Y'all doing that fairly. Some of you are real nervous about doing that. All right. Are we ready? Are you ready? How many of you say? Would you say amen? Raise your hand. Are you saved? Are you saved? Well, if you're saved, do you have the Spirit of God in you? Do you have that in you? All right. Well, then if the Spirit of God's in you, if He has any control at all in your life, you ought to have some joy. So let's just try that one time. Right, here we go. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in
some of you don't have it. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? To stay, come on, and I'm so happy, so very happy. Some of you are comfortable. I have the love of Jesus in my heart, and I'm so happy, so very happy. I have the love of Jesus in my heart. You remember that?
Yeah.
And if the devil doesn't like it, well, we won't sing that verse. God wants you to have joy. I mean, real. And you know what people do? They don't have it. So they try to find it in a bottle. Or they try to find it in a relationship. Or they try to find it on a screen. Or they try to find it out of a habit. Or they try to find it out of a dollar bill. And they can't find it. Because joy is the fruit of the Spirit. The source of joy is the same as love. It's not, we can't manufacture it, not real. We can't add it. In John chapter 15, Jesus said it this way. John 15, verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, look at it, church, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. You will not have joy unless you get Jesus' joy. Because it belongs to Him. It's an attribute of God. But if you'll let God's joy be in you, your joy will be full, He says. In chapter 17 of the book of John, John 17, the Bible says in verse number 13, this is His prayer. Jesus' prayer to the Father for us, and this is what He says. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have, look at it again, my joy fulfilled in themselves. It's not ours, it's His, that He has given to us. Now let me ask you a question. If somebody looked at your life, if they come by the tree of your life, will they see the fruit of God's joy hanging from the branches? God wants that to be true for all of His children, but it's not that way. Look at 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1. I'll give you enough verses tonight that if you want joy, you certainly can find it. 1 Peter chapter 1, the Bible says in verse number 8. 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 8. Whom having not seen, and he's talking verse 7, the end of the verse about Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1, 8, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Have you ever got so joyful that you couldn't even talk? You were just so glad on the inside, you could not put it into words. You know why God says we have joy unspeakable? It's because of Jesus Christ. And it's because though we don't see Him now, we're going to see Him. And we have the hope to see Him. And He is the reason for the joy. The joy is about Him. You know, Christmas time. You know those angels, whether it was Matthew chapter 2 or Luke chapter 2, He talks about that exceeding great joy which will be to all people. Those joyful, glad tidings that were brought at the birth of Christ. You know why? Because there's no joy without Him. He's the source of it. And if Jesus Christ is not the fullness of your life, that's why you don't have joy. It has nothing to do with your circumstances. It has nothing to do with how you grew up. It has nothing to do with your background, because joy is not in any of that. It's in Jesus Christ. And because of Him, they sang joy to the world. Because He was the only part of joy that could be found in the world. Now the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Go to Acts chapter 13. Joy is a product of the Holy Ghost, just like the love. Preached this morning that the reason people cannot love is they do not have a relationship with the Spirit of God, because He's the one that brings the fruit of love. The same is true about joy. Acts chapter 13 and verse 52. And the disciples were filled with what?
Joy.
And with the what? Newsflash. You will not be filled with joy if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost. There's just too much bad news out there. There's bad news every day, and it gets worse and worse. There's bad news in your personal life. There's bad news all around, and the only way you will have joy is the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Look at Romans chapter 14. Acts, we'll go to Romans 14. So many people say, "Preacher, I just can't be happy." And I want you to think about that. Well, where does that come from? Where does joy come from? Well, Pastor, if just this wasn't the case, well, really? What is the source of joy? It is not the absence of problems. It is not the perfect life. You find people with perfect lives. You think some of those people out in Hollywood, you think that they would be the most joyful people in the world. They got all the money in the world. They've got the beautiful spouse. They've got the huge house. They've got 25 cars. And yet they're in rehab. Can anybody not get a lesson from that? Joy's not found in that. He said in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, look at it. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace. Look at it. And joy in the Holy Ghost. There is no joy unless it is in the Holy Ghost. Romans 15, next chapter. Romans 15, verse 13, look at it. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy. You see that? God can fill you with joy. You can't manufacture it, you can't find it, but God can fill you up with it. He can pour it in your soul. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope, look at it, through the power of the Holy Ghost. One more time, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Why don't I have joy? It's got nothing to do with what's going on at the house. It's got nothing to do with what's going on in the country. It has nothing to do with what's going on at the job. It's got nothing to do with what's going on at school. It's got to do with the Holy Ghost and your absence from Him and my absence from Him. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, he says, in verse number 6, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word, watch it, in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. How do you get much affliction and joy in the same phrase? Because joy doesn't come from the absence of affliction. Joy comes from the Spirit of God. It is a fruit of the Spirit of God. And church, I'm telling you, just like I told you this morning, the reason that we don't have joy is because we don't have proper relationship with the Spirit of God. That's just the bottom line. It's not something you work for. It's not something you say, okay, and it's not this. Watch this. You know what? If we're not careful, this is what we'll do. We'll start praying this way. God, please give me joy. You know, that's not the right prayer. The right prayer is, God, please give me the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Because the byproduct of that is joy. See how messed up we are? We're praying for the result instead of the recipe. God, I want this joy. Instead of saying, God, I want you. Do you understand the difference? God, I need your Spirit. Boy, I remember as a boy, I just heard enough preaching that I thought that God would fill anybody. And I just spent so much time on my face begging God to fill me with His Spirit. I didn't know any better. You know what the byproduct of that was? He started putting things in my life that I couldn't find any other way. Mark it down. If you don't have joy in your life, it's because the Spirit of God doesn't have His fullness inside of you. You know, that's hard for us to admit sometimes, isn't it? Because this is what we do. Why am I not happy? Why do I not have a smile? Boy, the preacher's talking about making a joyful noise and shouting and smiling, and I know that's not true in my life. Why do I not have that? But we don't. It's hard for us to say, you know, I really don't have the relationship with the Spirit of God that I need to have. Because if I did, the fruit would pop. Man, I've met some people in my life that were so joyful. They were just bubbling with joy. You know why? They were in touch with the Spirit of God. Guys, it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's not something we attain. Even in affliction, He's talking about them having joy of the Holy Ghost. Joy is a product of a real relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's why so few people have it. Because people are seeking everything in the world except for a relationship with the Spirit of God. How can you have joy of the Holy Ghost in much affliction? Well, I'll read the rest of these verses. I'll just read these to you. Rejoice in the Lord always. Now, come on, guys. How can we do that? Every single day. Now, you know, some of you in here have good days. If we just take 1 week out of your life, or let's just take every week out of your life, you think one day in there probably, or 2 days, or 3 days, you have an off day, a bad day, an unjoyful day? Or maybe you just have one that is joyful. Why is that? You say, well, preacher, lots going on. No, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. He said in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore. How's that possible? He said in 2 Corinthians 7:4, to be exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. How is that possible? How can you be always rejoicing with sorrow in your life? Because the Holy Ghost will override your feelings. The Holy Ghost will override your tribulation. The Holy Ghost will override your affliction. The Holy Ghost will override your circumstances and sorrow. And He'll give you joy without it. As long as you're filled with Him, the joy's there. 2 Corinthians 8:2, in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. You know, the country's bad, guys. I preached years ago, it's going to get worse. Can we have joy in spite of it? Go to John 16. I saw this and I said, man, what a verse, Lord. It's about joy. John 16. In John chapter 16, Jesus says an amazing thing in verse 22. John 16, 22, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. Watch it. And your joy no man taketh from you. You know what God says? God says no man, nobody can take your joy from you. Nobody, no man can steal your joy. If you lose your joy, it's because you gave it away. Nobody can steal it from you. Nobody can take it from you. You know what the context of John chapter 16? He mentions joy in verse number 20. Your sorrow shall be turned into joy. He mentions joy in verse 21. He mentions joy in verse 24. That your joy may be full. But you know what the context of John 16? It's the fact that Jesus is going away, verse 7. And when He goes away, He's going to send a Comforter. And that Spirit of Truth, verse 13, He's going to come to them. He's going to guide them. That Spirit of God will be there for them. And that Spirit of God will bring joy in their life. And nobody can take it away. Nobody can remove that joy. Let me ask you a question. You said, "Preacher, you know, I've got something that took away my joy. You don't know my relatives. Your relatives can't take your joy away." You said, "Preacher, you don't know, I've been disappointed with other people's sins." No man can take your joy away from you. You said, "Preacher, I've been mistreated." It doesn't matter. They cannot take the joy of the Holy Ghost out of your heart. If it's gone out, it's because you let it go out. It's because you didn't yield yourself to the Spirit of God and let it stay there. No man can take your joy. You said, "Preacher, it's persecution that I've endured. Preacher, I have a wayward child or a witchy wife or a wicked husband." Are you listening to me? Now, we're getting right down to where the rubber meets the road. And we come face to face with an instance in our life where this has stolen my joy. But God said, no. Nobody can take away your joy. No man, no child, no spouse, no relative, no persecutor, no mocker, no country, no world. They can't take away your joy because it's not dependent upon them. It's dependent upon Him. What a promise. And guys, every time I don't have joy, I didn't say the absence of problems, but when I don't have joy in my heart, it's because I have not let the Spirit of God fill my life and control my life, because nobody can take it away, but I sure can give it away. And I'm telling you right now what this world needs. They need to see some people that are full of God. They need to see some real Spirit-filled people that can give them the gospel and the good news of salvation and also the joyful news of what it means to be a Christian. And too many times, most Christians are the best advertisement for the devil that there ever was, because there's no joy there. I get it. Life can be hard. But you know what we need to do? We need to go to the Spirit of God and let Him fill our lives and bring joy. No man can steal it from you. The Democrats can't steal it. The socialists, the communists can't steal it. Listen, maybe they can steal an election. Maybe they can steal peace in the community. But nobody can steal your joy. Joy comes from the fruit of the Spirit in your heart. And our problem is, a lot of times we have close relationships with everybody else, but we've not cultivated a close relationship with the Holy Ghost. And you can go to church and not have joy. You can go to church and not be filled with the Spirit. You can go to church and have no close relationship with the Spirit of God, where you're saying, as I said this morning, "Take me, Spirit of God." I wonder how many Christians have never even done that in their life. They have never even said, instead of saying, "God, please give me joy. God, please give me peace." If they would just go to God and say, "God, please give me your Spirit." You said, "Preacher, we're saved. We have the Spirit." Well, yeah, but He may be down in some corner down in there, in a little hidden place. I think it's a great prayer. Jesus talked about, He said, "Hey," and I understand where it was said dispensationally in the Gospels, but Jesus said, "Look, if your children ask you something, if they ask you for a gift, you're not going to give them a scorpion. You give good gifts to your children, right?" And He gave all that illustration by saying, "How much more would your Heavenly Father give the Spirit to them that ask Him?" Look, all of us that are saved have the Spirit, but we all don't have the fullness of the Spirit. Why wouldn't we go to the Father and say, Father, I need the fullness of your Spirit. That's what I really need. Because if I get that, then the fruit will come out of my life. And I know that one day, just like you said, Jesus, you said one day I will enter into the joy of my Lord. I know that'll happen. And I know that one day you'll present me faultless before your presence with exceeding joy. I know when I see you, when I walk the streets of heaven, I'll have joy. I know I'll have that, Lord. But God, I don't want to wait till then. Because I've got the joy in my heart.